Look beyond your horizon.
Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Well, I'm going to feel like a hypocrite because that song says, look beyond your horizon. And today, I'm having a hard time doing that. You know, we are coming to the end of 2019 and going into 2020. And, you know, there's always that making resolutions kind of thing, which I think has definitely kind of lost its sheen here and there with people as far as making resolutions, because they say that it's like a 50-50 thing that you keep your resolutions going. But I think for me, coming into the new year, it seems so big. It just seems so big, and I don't know where to start. And so as I'm coming, you know, to the end of this year, I decided that I'm not going to look at the whole year. I am such a planner. I'm a Capricorn. We're hard workers. That's what we do. You know, we live for it. But, and I always have like 400 things planned. And for some reason, going into 2020, while I'll feel this surge of creativity, I don't know where I'm putting it yet. So I was just talking to my good friend Julian here in the studio, and we were talking about how we can get kind of antsy if we're not doing what we're called to do. But I'm here to say that when you are literally coming into a new year, you don't have to conquer the whole year. If it feels too big, you know, just do today. Imagine that. So you ever wake up, you know, you ever have a hard time sleeping? I talk to so many people who seem to be awake between the hours of 2 and 5 these days, and 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., may I say. And in that situation, you know, your mind is swirling and you're thinking of all these things. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get up and do this today? How am I going to get up and accomplish what I need to do? What am I going to do for the rest of the week? You know, you start worrying. Does this happen to you? Does that happen to you? It happens to me. And so I swear I do more thinking at night than I do during the day. Maybe I shove all that down. Who knows? But the bottom line is, with this new year coming, instead of looking at the whole thing, if it's intimidating you, and you may not be in a place where you thought you'd be at the end of 2019, or maybe you're beyond. Maybe there's a new exciting thing that's coming and you're like, yes, I can't wait to take that on. And that's awesome. But for those of you who feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life next year, don't worry about it. What do you think about that? Because the more we worry, the tireder we get. Tireder, is that a word? It is today. So what I always look for signs. I know I tell you that all the time. And so today, a good friend of mine, Becky Lee, she's an amazing person. She works a lot with Kensington Church. And so she posted this thing today that I really, really enjoyed reading. And it was a tradition that her and her family do. And she posted online this. It's NOSID, nosidebar.com. And it's talking about your end of year intentions, I guess. So there's these 10 questions that come up. And at first I was like, okay, it's going to be predictable. Like, oh, you know, what do you want to do? Blah, blah, blah. What do you want to do next year? What don't you like? But these things really, I really like the questions. So let me read a few to you. What makes this year unforgettable? So I wanted to think about that. Like, what made 2019 unforgettable to me? I'll tell you what for sure comes to mind is some of the biggest change, which also was some of the biggest fear, which then I conquered. And then now I'm relaxed with it. So why can't we remember those things when we're approaching some conflict or something that scares us? Why can't we reach into our toolbox, our little bag of tricks, and say, hey, I remember being in this position before and I got through it. How did I get through it? And using that. Instead, a lot of us panic, including me, like, oh my God, how am I going to get through this? Blah, 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 blah. So my biggest thing was moving into my own dream big office. I was sharing a space with two other women, and the timing was conflicting because I had established more clients and I didn't have enough space, time to have these clients come in. So I came to this crossroads that I either try and pile clients on between Monday and Friday and then just work like 12-hour, 14-hour days those days, and then also have to push other clients away. I didn't want to do that. So I literally gave it to God and gave it to the universe, and I walked outside and I said, if I'm supposed to really have my own space, show me where. Well, I literally turned right out of the driveway of my old office, and three blocks down, there was a big fat sign that said for lease. And I came in to this building. It was unlocked. There were still construction workers. It wasn't even totally built out yet. It was a church that they converted into a bunch of offices. And I remember thinking, well, I'll just go in and see. I mean, maybe you never know. So this man, this construction worker, was there. And I said, can I take a look around? Are you leasing? And he said, yeah, well, we aren't quite leasing yet, but we'll be ready in about a month. And he said, let me show you around. And so I looked at all the spaces. Now, mind you, the space where I was coming from was so, it felt so magical to me and spiritual. And I thought, man, am I going to be able to top that? That's one thing my clients would come in and go, ah, this is amazing. And so I walked around and all the offices were pretty small. And they had drywall, so everything looked very sterile to me. It felt like about 14 or 15 different dentist offices. And I was like, well, maybe I could make this work. But my gut was saying no. And he said, well, I said, do you have anything else? And he said, well, would you be okay with being in the basement? And I'm like, are there windows? And he said, yeah. So we walked downstairs, and all of a sudden there was like this room with this woman in it who had like candles and crystals, and she was making her own jewelry. And then next to her was a guy who was a sculptor, and his door was shut, but you could see, you know, some of the art. And then came a couple empty offices, and then another office where there was a painter, and you could see some of his artwork on his wall. And then I came to this office to the right, and I said, can I go in here? And he goes, yeah. He goes, it's a little bit of a larger office, and it's totally different than anything you've seen already. And when I opened it, it had wall-to-wall, now it's going to sound gross, but it wasn't, paneling, this beautiful wood paneling. And it had these two big windows with trees, the view of the trees in the sky. And then it had mirrors on the walls to bring in the light even more. And all of a sudden I said, this is it. I want this one. And he said, that's funny. I said, you're not going to change it, are you? And he said, no, we're leaving it as is. This is where the pastors used to meet for lunch and have their meetings. So I figured it was a good energy room where creativity was had. So within a month, I moved in, and I've been there. It'll be a year in May, and I just can't believe it. And profoundly, my clients that come in say, oh my gosh, this is such a warm spiritual feeling place where I feel safe. So this just kind of shows you that some of the things that you could be overwhelmed by could be the best thing that ever happened to you. So that, what is something that made your year unforgettable? Think about that. What made it totally unforgettable that you can bring forward with you as a lesson or a joy? And so another question was, what did you enjoy doing this year? Well, I do try to challenge myself and do things that scare me. So one of the things was, I have to say I enjoyed it till I got hurt. But my husband took me for my anniversary downtown Detroit to a beautiful hotel called Shinola Hotel, and it was just gorgeous. And the next day he said, why don't we go for a walk and look around? And I said, that's great. Well, then he found this thing called eBird, I think it was called, or the bird. And they were these what do you call those things that you jump on? See, I'm having a panic attack already thinking about it.
Those scooters.
Scooters. Thank you, Remy. You're awesome. So here I was, and I said to my husband, I don't know if this is such a good idea. And he's like, yes, it is. You can do it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to conquer my fears of being hurt, because everyone knows that I've been injured here and there in the last 5 years. So, and as a guitar player, I'm always afraid to hurt my hands. And as I got on my scooter, it took off really fast, and I almost ran over this construction guy, and he had a helmet on, those hard hats. And I thought real twice about asking him if I could borrow his hard hat. And he looked at me and he said, you be real careful on those things. I've seen some really bad accidents. And I'm like, I know, I'm scared. But so while this is kind of an odd thing to say, I enjoyed it because I ended up having a relationship with a sewer thing that was uneven, you know, and I hit it hard and went flying. And I think even Tom Cruise would have been impressed with the role that I did on the ground. My husband was way ahead of me, and somehow I didn't break anything. I don't know how I didn't break anything, but I didn't break anything. So the reason I'm saying I enjoyed it was, one, because for about 30 minutes, I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed going around the beautiful areas of Detroit and seeing what energy and belief and faith has brought our city to a place that is alive and kicking. I perform in Detroit. I've performed in Detroit when things weren't as good and lively. And to see this change, this beauty of it, just warmed my heart and opened my soul until I hit something that I shouldn't have hit. And will I go on one of those things again? Scooters, birds, no. And anyone who wants my little gift certificate, I will send it to you in the mail. I think I have $20 worth and you can totally use it. And you'll probably enjoy it, but will I say wear a helmet? So number three, what, who is the one thing or person that you're grateful for? Just even saying that makes me tear up a little bit, because I'm in the presence of two very awesome men. One is Remy, and his son is here joining us in the studio today, Julian. And I think of how important family is and who we're grateful for. My daughter had moved out and then moved back home. And I think it's a tie between her and my husband, who I'm grateful for, because, you know, we have so many people in our lives that have changed us for the better or for the worse, however you want to look at it. But there's those certain people that you feel this unconditional love for and from. And I think children are the best example. Children and puppies. I think those two things, they go hand in hand. Because no matter what, our kids could drive us crazy, but we're always going to love them unconditionally. And what a beautiful gift that we receive having kids. And my husband, who didn't have children of his own technically, my daughter is a stepdaughter, he realized this year when she moved back how much he was saddened that he didn't have his own child, but the fact that he had this person, this being in his life who is not technically his blood, but the fact that she is so much a part of him and gives him reason to be a better person, that he expressed his gratefulness to me this year. And my husband's not a warm and fuzzy kind of guy who talks about his feelings a lot. So the fact that this came out of his mouth made me even more grateful that I married him. And the fact that he can take in my daughter and we as a family build this relationship. And she's 28, so it's not like she's this young kid I can mold anymore. She's pretty bossy, actually, but you know, she was bossy since the time she was born. I think it's just the Sagittarian in her, but she's usually right, so I can't really argue. So I am continuously grateful. When I wake up in the morning and I do my grateful list, she and my husband are on the top, obviously. And then also my mother-in-law, who is always there for me to hear me out, to run crazy ideas by. She won't say, you're nuts. Why are you doing this? She'll be like, you got this, girl. So who are those people that you were grateful for last year? Could have been a stranger. Could have been somebody that just helped you randomly. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be this long-term person. But who are these people that you're grateful for, and you can bring your experience from them to your next year going in, and maybe that be that person for someone else. Imagine that. So make that list. Who are you grateful for? All right. What's your biggest win this year? This one makes me nervous. I don't know why it makes me nervous. I think the word biggest win, that statement sounds like such a sales thing. It doesn't have to be. But I don't know what my biggest win is. I think I'd have to think about that. But it says, remember what you've achieved that made this year better and give yourself a pat on the back. Even if your year wasn't perfect, it wasn't all bad. Oh, whoever wrote this was reading my mind. They must have known that. So I think I'm an overachiever. I don't think it. I know it. So when I don't reach a goal, it's not like I feel like a failure, but it pushes me to go, okay, I didn't get that. But let's do this. Make a list of all the things that you had decided that you were going to do. And when I really get truthful with myself and sit down and go, okay, what did I think about doing January 1st last year, or December 30th last year, or December 31st last year? And did I do it? Oh my gosh, I just realized. Yes, I did. I said I was going to have, you know, a successful year with Dream Big, which is my company. And I ended up starting with 3 clients and got to 23 within 6 months. I'd say that's really good. Now, with an entrepreneurship, one thing you learn is ebb and flow. So you're not always going to have 23 and you're not always going to have 3. But the success of it is to continually believe in yourself and grow and learn, continually learn from everything and every experience you have. I like that. Okay, so I would say that's my biggest win. Number 5, what did you read, watch, listen to that made the most impact this year? Well, I have to confess, I've been binge watching TV a lot. Winter does that in Michigan, you know. But I think the first thing that pops in my head is Mary Magdalene. This movie about Mary Magdalene. And it was really intense. Joaquin Phoenix played Jesus. So if that doesn't make it more intense, I don't know what does. And I thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch this. Well, I could, and I did. And I was so excited that I did, because it moved me spiritually like you wouldn't believe. You know, I grew up Catholic, and Mary Magdalene was to be said a lot of things about her, which technically the way some of us were taught isn't exactly what it was. What I found about this movie was that I found we had a lot in common. One, she didn't really feel like she belonged in her family. I always felt weird, and I feel weird because I know my sister listens to this podcast now. So Esther, if you're listening, I hope you understand this. But the bottom line is I didn't feel like I belonged. It didn't mean that I did or didn't, but I just felt weird. One, I looked different. I felt different. I looked at a picture of our family the other day. There's all these blondes. And then there was me smack dab in the middle with brown hair and blue eyes, just like Julian, who's sitting next to me. But all my siblings had blonde hair and green eyes, or bluish green eyes. And, you know, as a kid, a difference can really affect you, good or bad. But I also just felt different. I don't know. It was just inside me. That's just how I felt. And so here was Mary Magdalene, and she was with this, you know, family, and they wanted her to marry someone, and she didn't want to marry him. So she took off and she followed Jesus. And she literally, you know, even the apostles were like, what's she doing here? You know, and almost feeling like she was affecting them in a bad way. So kind of wherever she went, she felt kind of like an outcast, or didn't quite know where she belonged, but she knew that she had a purpose and a journey, and it wasn't an easy one. So there's this one scene that really has affected me, and it was Jesus was off on his own and he was just praying, and she went, and they were standing, he was sitting on this like sand dune, and she went off and she didn't get super close to him, but she just sat off in the distance to watch. And I thought, how awesome would that be? You know, even for you non-believers, to be able to sit with someone or something of an energy that you can just observe and feel. And so now when I'm going through tough times or I feel kind of squirrely or I don't know where I'm going or what I'm going to do next, I literally think about that scene and it calms me. So I would say that that's what it, in the question was, what did you read, watch, listen to that made an impact? I think that was one of the biggest things because I use it on a daily basis. I have a lot of books that I read, you know, that had impact. I had a lot of people in my life who definitely had impact. But I'd say that if that was in, as far as what I was reading or watching or listening to, I think that that would be it. Remember, what you feed your mind is really effective. So I know some people, and my husband gets mad, but, you know, he likes to game. And with gaming, there's a lot of violence in it. And I just feel it's got to affect him somehow. And so sometimes we'll watch a bunch of movies and I try to do something that we both can enjoy. And his always has some sort of killing or shooting or fighting or something. And sometimes it's just too much for me. So I make him sit through a Hallmark movie. And you know what? He says, you always know how it's going to end. Why do you watch these? I said, because it feels good. I like to know that there's going to be happiness and joy in the end. And so literally I can see him, don't tell him I said this, but I can see him get sucked in too. And it makes our day a little lighter. So careful about what you read. It doesn't mean that you can avoid everything. I'm not saying avoidance, but you know, we can choose what we put in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, in our thoughts. So, and then number six, what did you worry about the most and how did it turn out? Well, I don't know about you, but money's always a thing with me. I always worry about money, and I know we're not supposed to. You read all the self-help books say if you worry about money, then you're always going to have money problems. But, you know, I think it's really hard to conquer it. I think we live in a society that we're supposed to have, you know, and reality of it, we're supposed to have a car. I mean, yeah, I suppose we can all do bus, but, you know, I'm used to having a car. There's certain things that you worry about, your future, but we don't really know what our future is. So what can we do in regard to helping that? So this is something that this person wrote. I always have some worry in the back of my mind at one point or another. I've worried about my job, a friend who's having a tough time, and so on. It feels natural to stress about things I can't control, but I've realized a lot of my worries are unnecessary in the long run. Looking back on what I worried about and what actually happened reminds me not to dwell on my doubts and fears. I hope it's a reminder that you'll benefit from too. So I'm going to read that a lot. And I'm going to just kind of move on because we're getting close to the end of this thing. But, you know, what's the one thing that changed about yourself? The fact that we can change is wonderful. There's freedom in knowing we're not obligated to be who we always were. We can explore our limits and live in new ways when we want to. For example, this is what the writer wrote. I cared differently this year. I cared about my relationships and became more patient with people around me. I cared about the environment and how my choices affected it. I also learned to care less about what people thought of me. How about you? How did you change? I will say that one of the things I did change is, yes, I do worry about what people think, not necessarily of me, but of their feelings. I'm an empath that way. I like to make sure everybody's happy. But in the case sometimes that you can lose yourself in it. So I think one of the things I've learned to change is really take time out. The other day, I could have gone home. I was doing a writing session with my drummer. And I could have gone home. My husband was painting and, you know, I thought, oh, I should probably get there. But I decided just to take a left turn and go to Belle Isle. Belle Isle's beautiful. It's reopened. It's exciting. Julian likes it too. He said it is. And I just found myself sitting there looking at this fountain that I used to stand at when I was a little kid. Remember that picture I was talking about? All five kids of us, four with blonde hair and me with brown. That was where we took that picture. It was in Belle Isle. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to leave you on this note. We're going into this new year. Be gentle with yourself. Be kind to yourself. Try not to worry so much. Life is going to work out. It will. And no matter what it delivers, know that you are okay and you can change and you can learn and you can grow. And with that, congratulations on another year. We've completed a decade. Oh my gosh. And now we are on to 2020. It will be beautiful. You will have 2020 vision for what you want. Just start today.